Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Prime Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 99 of Nerd Pride Radio. 99, the number of problems poor Jay-Z has. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, history nerd, science nerd. I went through all of them already, didn't I? Plus!
Don't forget about your nerdy son!
And I got my nerdy son with me.
Yay!
Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. My co-host this week, you've already heard him, it's Noah. Say hi, Noah.
Hi, this is Nerd Pride Radio.
Yes. Let's see, first up today, before we get to the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, I do have yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! And what was I wrong about? Hold on, I got it written down here somewhere. I didn't want to forget. Where is it? Darn it. You would think I would have this written down somewhere. I put it at the end of the last, I put it in the liner notes for last week's show. I even noticed it before I put the thing up, but it was too late to go in and make some edits to it, so I just let it slide. When I talked last week about the, what was the help thing that I came up with? Darn it, customer service. I said it was on Twitter, at customer service, and it's not. It's an account called customer service on Facebook that was doing that. So I led you guys astray. But anyway, so if you had heard my bit last week and then you went looking for them, that's where they are. They're on Facebook and not Twitter. My bad. Also, before we get into the meticulously plotted portion, it's also time for updates. This is an update on Rusty the dog. This is actually pretty cool. I have been out feeding calves all week long while my in-laws are out camping. So they're on vacation. We're taking care of their animals for them. So we go out and we feed the dogs. We feed the baby calves. We feed the big cows. We go through the whole business. And every day I go out and Rusty's in his kennel inside. So first thing I do is I go in the house. I let Rusty out. He goes, runs to the door and waits for me. I put a leash on him. I take him outside. I put him on his chain outside. And then he's got his food and his water out there. And then before I walk away, I bend over and I pet him. And if you'll remember correctly, Rusty is the frightened dog that my in-laws rescued. And we don't know where he came from. But Rusty's response to human beings other than my mother-in-law is to stand there and freeze. And he will not move. He will not respond. He will not do anything until you wander away. I mean, he'll tolerate anything you do, but he won't react. He won't move. He just sits there until you're gone. He's clearly an emotionally, probably physically abused dog from when he was younger. And he is just, it's just heartbreaking to see him. And so, like I say, I go out there every day. I put him out there, make sure he's got food and water. And then I pet him for a while before I walk off. And he just sits there, freezes, and tolerates it. He doesn't react to me in any way whatsoever. But I pet him, and then I walk away. Well, the last day I went out there, I went out, got him on his chain, gave him his food, his water. And then I didn't pet him because I was in a hurry because I was late for work. And so instead, I just started walking away. And holy crap, he followed me, and he poked me in the back of the leg with his nose, which he's never done. He's never willingly approached me for anything, ever. And they've got other dogs out there. I'm used to dogs bumping into me all the time when I'm out there. So I didn't even think anything of it. I just kept walking. It didn't even register with me because I'm already thinking about, okay, I got to go get milk. I got to go get this. I got to be ready. And I wasn't paying attention. And then he did it again. And he runs up behind me and pokes his nose into the back of my leg. I mean, just, you know, very gently, but it's obviously a cold, wet dog nose on the back of your leg. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's Rusty. So I turn around, and I look at him, and he freezes, like he always does. And so I bent down, and I petted him. And I petted him for a good long time, because, you know, if he's going to come after me, then I'm going to give him some feedback here. And I guess the upshot is, like you say, he freezes, he doesn't react, he still acts like he always does, but by God, he wanted to make sure he got his petting before I walked away. And I was like, made me tear up. It was so sweet. So hell yeah. I spent like a good 5 minutes sitting there rubbing on him. He was awesome. So that's the update. Update is that Rusty actually approached me for affection. So you know what? He's doing better. Rusty's got good things going on and I'm happy for him. And it was very, very heartwarming. So there you go. That was my update. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If anything strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod. The best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
Ew.
What are they?
Ew. Like just how you phrase it, how it spews.
Oh, you don't know what comes next?
It spews all over us. You spray it all over us.
Oh, you were saying ew. I get it. Okay. You know, I thought you were going to do the next line for me, where I say, you lucky dogs. All right, so straight into my master list. And I should point out, by the way, I've got this handy-dandy pocket mod here, and the last, this will be like 3 episodes in a row, that I'm actually working straight out of the master list most of the episode. I've gotten to where I've got this big old chart, my whole show notes format on in a Word document here, and I always fill everything in ahead of time and make sure I've got it all plotted out and I know where I'm going to go with it. And the last few episodes, I've just kind of been playing it more by ear and going straight out of the pocket mod. So yep. It's been very, very nice.
Though this is the first ever episode where his pocket mod has been taken while he was recording.
You're going to give me that back, young man. Okay. Actually kind of cool. I'm relying more and more on this pocket mod, and I guess I'm just feeling more and more comfortable just stepping out here and just doing whatever. I still have my show notes up, the official Word document ones, because it still has all the scripted parts, all the bumper notes and that kind of crap. So I'll keep that going because you guys know me. I can't memorize this stuff for nothing. 100 episodes, almost 100 episodes, and I still will bumble over it even with the script in front of me. So anyway, first up, it's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, card games, if it fits on my gaming table, or in this case, Noah's gaming table, then we, together, are here to share it with you. All right, Noah. Noah has a new game. Just got it when?
Just got it today, and already I love it to bits.
Awesome. What game are we talking about?
Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U. And I'd like to say, if any of you people out there have owned it, and haven't gotten the free DLC, you should get it because it gives you realistic cars.
they were all 3 of them so excited. They went out there with their own money. Actually, this is weird. There was a federal survey on drug and alcohol use and drug and alcohol knowledge, and they came around and they, you know, we were picked as one of, you know, however many households, and so the interviewer comes by and she asks me, like, you know, 5-10 minutes worth of questions. And then she plugs all of our information in and says, okay, now I'm going to send this up to the database and we'll see if there's anyone here that gets picked for one of our long form surveys. And it wound up that Eli and Aiden both got picked for the long form survey, and for completing the long form survey with them, which took like 45 minutes, I got $30, $30 cash in hand. Oh, it was awesome. So we've contributed to the federal knowledge, and now my two kids, they were $60 richer, so they went out and they got themselves Mario Kart 8 for the
Wii U. $30 richer.
Ah, but there were two of them.
Ah.
Yeah, basic math. All right.
And now more about Mario Kart 8. One thing you guys want to know is, if you see that you get Mir and 200cc, if you...
Wait, whoa. This game goes up to 200cc?
Yeah. All those old ones used to go to 150, but now you're fast as lightning.
So apparently it's 50cc faster.
Yeah. And I don't know what Mir does, but I believe if you go into a Mir pre, it's like 50cc speed, but you do the entire track in reverse.
So it's like a mirror image of the original track?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool way to go about it. So what you're saying is you highly recommend Mario Kart 8.
Yeah. And for anyone out there, something that I say is cool is that you can play as all the Koopalings. So if you like Iggy, you can be Iggy. If you like Morton, you can be Morton.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. I appreciate you pitching it. They got their survey money like yesterday. They went out today and they bought Mario Kart 8, and all three of them could not be having more fun. They are just having a blast with this thing. So very cool. Thank you, kiddo. And that is the end of my gaming table. We're not going to do a very long podcast tonight, although, I'll warn you ahead of time. I put up Listener Betrayal a while ago because I thought I was going to sit down and record, and it's been up for hours now, and I'm finally getting to the recording, so that part might be a little bit long. So we'll make the rest of this brief so we can get into our Listener Betrayal. What else is on my pocket mod for this week? Oh, I got some pet peeves. I don't have a segment for this, so we'll just call them pet peeves. And I got three of them. My first one is, where did I put it? All right, first off, my first pet peeve is the tiger rank in Cub Scouts. This has always bugged me. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as tiger rank. You start off in second grade as a wolf, and you always have to earn your bobcat badge first. That's like your precursor to prove that you've learned, you know, the sign and the salute and just the basics. And then once you've learned those, you've got your bobcat badge, and then you start off. Second graders are wolves, third graders are bears, fourth and fifth grade goes into Weeblos. Then they introduced Tiger Cub. They wanted to bring in first graders. They wanted to get kids started a little bit earlier, which was a good idea. It's kind of a pre-scout sort of rank, so that they wind up getting a whole lot of basic stuff, and it's very much, when you're in Tigers, you wind up having, you know, parent attendance is mandatory, so you always have a lot of parent assistance and stuff like this. So it's a great program. I like the Tiger Scouts. But I have a problem with the idea that they call them Tiger Scouts. And again, this is why this is a pet peeve. It's a tiny thing. It's a little thing. But, you know, there's a progression here. And part of me is a little irked because, look, the other ones are all, this is the United States Boy Scouts of America program. And so, therefore, we're focused on North American mammals for the progression of rank. And tigers are not a North American mammal. And therefore, they don't fit. But even that isn't really the big problem for me. It's that there's a progression in size. You start at bobcat, you go up to wolf, which is larger, and then finally up to bear, which is the largest carnivorous animal in North America. And so, you know, you've had this natural progression. So where do we start when we start at tiger cubs? Tigers are one of the largest predators on earth. They're huge. Well, land predators, land mammal predators. Anyway, they're huge, and they just don't fit. They're just out of place to go tigers and then bobcat, wolf, bear. It just doesn't quite fit for me, and I so wish they would change that sucker up. And so I'm getting all this ready, and Lisa is asking me what I'm going to be going over tonight, and I said, well, okay, tiger cubs. And I go on to my whole rant, like I just gave it to you guys, but I'm being louder and more vociferous about it. And her response is, well, at least they're not calling you brownies. Oh, Oh, yeah, well, I guess. At least it's something cool. Darn it. So, yeah, it could be a lot worse, I suppose. Which then leads me to wonder, if I ever get my wish and they combine Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts into a single organization, I wonder what they'll do with the progression. I mean, because I don't even know, other than Brownie, I don't even know what the progression in Girl Scouts is. I don't know where you go from there. Is it other baked goods? I have no idea what that does. And obviously, I'm guessing that Brownie is a reference to the color of the uniform or some other aspect, and it's not actually referring to baked goods. But what do I know, right? So I wonder what they'll do with the progression if they ever combine them. When I shouldn't even say if. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen eventually. That's a good thing to think about. I should actually do some research on that. All right, second pet peeve. Second one. Hey, guess what? We found a bunch of new planets. They released all this Kepler data, and we've got a whole bunch of exoplanets. All right, exoplanets being planets outside of our solar system. And we've already had some, 1,000, 2,000 exoplanets that we've discovered, maybe more than that, a lot. And this new Kepler data that's being released, we've got like an extra 500 new candidates for exoplanet. That's pretty cool. All right, this is just amazing times to be alive. They are bringing in so much data, and it's more detailed than before. So we can find even smaller planets in even more remote locations. And it's really cool stuff. But, and again, this is the same kind of complaint I've had with science news reporting forever. But I'm tired of headlines telling us we've found another Earth. Can we stop with that one? Found another Earth. No, we haven't found another Earth. Although, we have found a planet around a star very similar, if much older than our own, in the habitable zone, and only 5 times the mass of Earth, which is the nearest to Earth size we've ever gotten before. But it's still something that's, 5 times the mass of Earth, and it's on around a much older star. Therefore, if it had liquid water at one point, it's probably long since gone to rampant greenhouse gases, and it's got a surface like Venus where it's sitting at 700, 800, 900 degrees, something like that. So it's not a second Earth, all right? It is a fantastic find. It is unbelievable. I can't wait to learn more. I really want to know what's going on, but how many times do we have to find an exoplanet? And the headline, I mean, this is like 4, 5, 6 cycles of exoplanets, and every time we find something a little more Earth-like than the last ones we found, all of a sudden it's, oh my God, we found another Earth. All right. I guess the best headline this time was, we found Earth's slightly larger, slightly older cousin. Oh, okay. See, that one I like. That one, that's not a bad way to refer to it. To say, okay, it's vaguely Earth-like, but right there, it's Earth's cousin. It's a little larger, a little older. It's probably not really like Earth that much, but it's getting in the ballpark. See, that's a cool way to say it. But stop giving me, hey, we found another Earth. It drives me bats. It's sensationalistic news reporting, which I know I should be thankful that at least gets people interested in science. It catches their eye and gets people talking. And then at least there's discussions around me that I can start correcting people and going, well, actually, what's really cool about it? And then I start filling in more details. And that's awesome. But stop calling it another Earth. Again, eventually people are going to catch on that, didn't they say that a year ago? Didn't they say, so anyway, again, it's a pet peeve. It's a minor thing. All right, last pet peeve, last one, and then we'll be done with this segment. My last pet peeve is people who don't talk to other people like they're human beings, all right? And this is in specific cases, all right? I'm sure I say that and it conjures up all sorts of images for you. Specifically for me, don't baby talk to anybody. Don't use patronizing language to anybody. And I mean, like specifically, I think of this with my kids. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a place for baby talk. All right, baby talk actually serves a real function. Scientifically, they've studied it, and the way the tones go up and down and the presentation of it, it's actually good for infants to have some of that. But also, in general, I mean, my kids, from the time they were very little, I've always just spoken to them like they're people, like they're anybody else. All right, you've heard me. I mean, maybe I alter my tone a little bit, but you've heard me when I've had my kids on. For the most part, I just talk to them like they're anybody else I'm talking to, like I'm talking to you guys. And I almost never worry about my vocabulary when I'm talking to my kids, because first off, they all have fantastic vocabularies. Right, Noah?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. They actually get compliments all the time about, wow, your kids have such a great vocabulary. I'm like, well, yeah, because I do, and they just imitate what they hear, you know? Lisa and I talk like this all the time. So you get, they're just passing on what they hear. But it's not just with kids. Although I found out that when I'm out at the farm doing chores, I talk to Rusty and the cows and the miniature horses. I talk to all of them like I talk to everybody else, too. Because they're not going to respond to me either way. So, I mean, really, it's if I've got food, they want me. But even adult, because we went with the Cub Scouts to a local nursing home, and it was a craft night. The residents were going to be there doing crafts they were actually making door hangers with their names on them to identify them up and down the hallway. Apparently the old ones were, you know, seasonal or they wore out or whatever, so they wanted new door hangers. And not all the residents at this nursing home were interested in crafts, but there were a good half dozen of them that were just thrilled to death because, yeah, something to do. They like working with their hands. It was going to be fun. And so as Cub Scouts, our troop volunteered to come over and just help, you know, if they needed help, you know, with placement of materials or cutting things out or whatever it was they were doing, we'd be there to provide assistance. Because some of them were way better at fine motor skills than some of the residents there. And in general, we had an awesome time. We had actually almost the same number of scouts as we had people there. And so they just kind of buddied up and they had a great time helping each other out. And Noah was his typical self and just told this woman stories and just babbled away as they, you know, worked on cutting out stickers and putting things down and this kind of stuff. And he was thrilled to death because he had someone who was happy to listen to him. And she looked like kind of a grumpy, dour old woman. But by the end, I mean, she was so charmed with him and had so much fun with him. It was really heartwarming. It was very nice. And it was just, there were just a couple of times when other adults would be there and they would talk to the nursing home residents as if they were babies. Talk to them with this baby talk that was just, it was insulting to me. And I'm across the room and I'm like, yeah, you know, they're adults. They've lived a longer life than you have. They've seen way more crap than you have. You can talk to them like they're people. It's really okay. And I didn't say anything. That's not the place to do that. But, you know, me and most of the other adults and all of the kids certainly set a proper example by just treating them like people and having a good old time. And that's what we did. It was awesome. The most egregious case I've ever seen of this. Did you watch the video of Stephen Hawking going into space? Because it's amazing, for one thing. I mean, if anyone deserves to get to go to space, I think he was just going up on the Vomit Comet, so he could experience weightlessness. But if anyone deserves to go up, man, it's Stephen Hawking, right? And so they're getting him strapped in and they're getting him up. And I can't remember at what point of the, I can't remember if it was on the way up or if it was during the trip or just after they got back. There was this one woman assisting him who just, she's like, just, I don't even want to do an imitation of it because it was so demeaning. But it's, oh, wasn't that fun? Didn't know. And I mean, just talking to him, he's Stephen Hawking, for God's sake. I don't care that he's, you know, almost immobile and bound to this wheelchair. And, you know, I don't care how, what he looks like in this case. He's a person, for one thing. And two, one of the most brilliant human beings that's ever lived. And you're going to talk to him like he's a 2-year-old just because he happens to be physically disabled. It was just, oh, so insulting. It was so gross. Not that he gave a crap because he was having so much fun. He could have cared less. But, and I'm sure he's used to that kind of treatment. I mean, even Stephen Hawking gets that. Can you believe it? Weird. So anyway, that's my pet peeve, is just talk to people like they're people, for God's sake. How tough is that? You know what? It's time to move on. It's time for the pause. You know what? Did you notice, even though I say it's going to be short, I still wound up 25 minutes. Holy crap. Which I guess is better than 45 is where I usually wind up, isn't it? I would shoot for a half hour, and then I always wind up at 45. Automatic! Ah, it's dead! Oh, you find that funny?
Yeah.
You like that? All right. Hold on. There we go. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in, and Aiden, who heard me yell Pod-O-Matic. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to the Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Okay, hey, welcome, Aiden.
Hi.
Let's see what our first one is. Let's see, it is number 61. And 61 is from? It's from Lisa, my wife. Hi, Lisa. She's so awesome. Who is the creepiest person you have ever met?
Who? Me, it's me, it's me, it's me.
It's not you.
Oh.
But you know the answer, go ahead and tell him.
Do I know the answer?
Oh, God, you better know the answer. Who's
Oh.
All right, no.
Marty!
Come here.
Now. Oh, yeah!
Marty, our neighbor. He is so creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Our neighbor, Marty.
Yeah.
This guy moved in a little while ago, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to the podcast, so I think I'm safe. But nobody tell him I said any of this. Marty is, oh, God love him. He tries, but he is just... He's just got creepy stalker written all over him. And I think it's just that he's just, you know, not the swiftest, you know? But it comes off super creepy and super stalkery and super bleh. And when he first moved in, he started giving us this whole talk about how his old neighbors, they were really rude, really mean people, and how they wouldn't give him the time of day. And they would blah, blah, blah. I mean, he went on and on. And we're asking, well, where'd you used to live? I just lived about a block and a half up here on the corner of. And we're like, oh, you know what? Those neighbors, yeah, that's my wife's brother. Oh, I mean, no, I didn't mean like that. So we were off to a bad start with him. We thought it was hysterical. We went and told Andy and Christine right away, hey, you know who hates you? And they thought that was a great story. But he doesn't take a hint. He comes over to chit-chat. Hey, neighbor, how's it going? And then, just the other night, I'm out vacuuming the van. And he comes over to talk because there's some road construction going on and other stuff. And so he just wants to make conversation. So I talked to him for like 15 minutes. And finally, he wouldn't take a hint. I keep trying to end the conversation. He won't take a hint. So I finally, flat out, I'm like, hey, Marty, I hate to run you off, but I really have to get this work done, and so I'm going to turn on the vacuum now and get back to work. He's like, oh, yeah, no, that's fine, and then he keeps talking, and he doesn't leave. It's like another 5 minutes go by, and he's still there, no end in sight. So I've now put in my earphones, because I'm listening to music, I was listening to a podcast at the time. I've put in my earphones, and I turn on the vacuum, and I just start working, and he keeps talking to me. He kept talking. Wouldn't stop.
Kept on yammering.
And every time he's obviously asking me questions, I'm like, yeah, I can't hear. Okay. No, I'm still vacuuming. Okay. 10 minutes later, he finally walks off. Oh, it was so tiring. And it wouldn't be so bad, except he's a close talker. A really close talker. You can't see Aiden's face, but his nose is practically touching my cheek as he talks to me. And he's not exaggerating. He came over
He
one
is
day.
A very close man.
He was sharing the wisdom of the ages here. He had finally figured out that, hey, here's what you do. You don't need to be bringing your garbage cans out to the street every day, every week like that. Why wheel them all the way from the backyard? Here's what I do. I've put my garbage can just right by my front step. So that way, when I step out my front door, there it is. I throw my stuff away. And when the garbage man pulls up, he can see my garbage right there in the front yard. He'll come up and grab it. You don't ever have to wheel this thing back and forth. This is awesome. And he's telling me the whole thing while his face is just inches from mine. I mean, and he's very serious about this plan. He went so far as to tear out the wrought iron railing around his porch because it was interfering with his, I'm just going to set my garbage can here where the garden used to be and throw shit away. Right, yeah, here, but off the porch.
But having his trash can right there has led to some other problems.
Okay, I'm getting to that. So just the other day, we've got the niece over. And
she's like
the
one.
Baby, yeah. And she's adorable. I don't know if you guys saw pictures on Facebook. Adorable baby. And we're in the backyard with her. And then we say, you know what? Instead of playing in the backyard, let's go over to the park. We got park a block from our house. Let's go over to the park. So we head up, and as we come up between the two houses, Marty is on his porch, I think throwing something away in that garbage can that he conveniently keeps right next to his porch. And he is wearing nothing but his tidy whities.
And we're talking tidy whities.
Yeah, he's like a 55-year-old dude.
Technically tidy, not so whities.
And not so tidy either. They were old and thin and dirty and poor Lisa. I mean, she like looks over and she's like, oh God, and couldn't have looked for more than a quarter second. And she's got her eyes fixed on the baby, looking kind of away. And as she's walking, she's like, I didn't just see what I thought I saw, did I? Please tell me I didn't see that. I'm like, no, that's exactly what you thought it was. Oh, Christ. And I mean, of course, the minute we got there, I also averted my eyes immediately. So all I know is I heard his door and immediately he's back inside. Clearly, he didn't expect anyone to be there. It's the middle of the damn day. It was.
If it was the morning or late at night, I would understand. But middle of the day? Come on, man.
Middle of the day. Now, granted, again, there's construction that's just on the next block from us. So even though our street is open in front of us, it's kind of blocked at one end. And there, what used to be a very busy thoroughfare right in front of our house is now dead. Nobody passes by. The only danger he had of someone seeing him was if someone came out of our house and he thought he would hear the door and have plenty of warning. Little did he know we were in the backyard. So he's just creepy. Just creepy. So anyway, I have a whole list of things I could rattle
on forever.
Yeah, I have a whole list of things that, but those are the creepiest ones.
Also, let me tell you something I know about Marty is, at one point, here I am mowing the lawn, and Marty comes up and stops me. And he goes, hey, while you're mowing, could you get this part for me? And if you could, this part. And by the time he was done talking, he pretty much listed off his entire lawn.
Yeah, it really was. It was like, hey, look, as long as you're there, because we obviously were neighbors, and there's that little strip in between the houses, and then right there where the garbage cans sit out by the curb. And so it's like, it is kind of silly to go out in that part on the curb. As long as we're mowing it, we might as well mow the whole section. It's only like 5 foot by 5 foot. You might as well get the whole thing instead of, you know, just doing our half and leaving the others for him. So that part makes sense. And, oh, yeah, this strip between the house. Yeah, okay, that could kind of make sense. I mean, it's just an extra 3 feet over for us. Two more passes with the mower, and we've got the whole thing. Why wouldn't we do that for him? Oh, yeah, and then could you get this part back here? And it's like, yeah, he literally described his whole yard. I mean, it was hey, as long as you're out here, could you just mow my yard for me? And that'd be great.
And paint my house.
So that's a Chris Rock reference if you don't get it. So, yeah, creepy. You know what? We're done. 26. We are moving on. And 26 says, oh, it's also from my wife. This is not rigged, I promise. My wife Lisa says, why haven't you really read your brother's book?
He doesn't know that.
Yeah. Oh my God, Lisa. Right here in front of everybody? Seriously? You're going to do this?
In front of him?
This is.
He listens.
He just, oh. Oh, man. All right, look.
We have it. We know where it is.
I've got it on my Kindle. And I fixed my Kindle. I repaired everything. It's all charged up and ready. I have it available. I'm just a lazy piece of crap, okay? That's why. I just, here's the real reason is that Kyle's first book was fantastic, by the way. Those of you who have read his first book and his second book, or just one or the other, whatever, you've read his writings. You know Kyle is an awesome writer. You know he is. I love his book, his first one that I've actually read. But it was huge. I mean, the things, I'm not exaggerating, 8.5 million pages. Okay, it is long. All right.
Actually, I think that might have been an exaggeration.
I don't think it is. It's on the Kindle, so it doesn't give me an exact page count. But from my estimation, 8.5 million is about right. And so I'm just intimidated. That's it. I'm intimidated by having to read his book because it's going to be such a large project, and it's been so long since I've read the last one that I'm going to have to refresh myself on some of the characters, and part of me is telling myself, you know, you should really reread the first one so that you're right there in the mood and you get right into the second one, and wouldn't that be awesome? And I keep telling myself I should do that, but, you know, if I add on that extra chore, so now it's, you know, 17 million pages, now I've made it an impossible, some Greek name that now I can't remember, and I should have just said Herculean, but oh well, I didn't get there. And so now I've made the project too big, and I can never start on it. So, okay, I've got to just narrow it down. I just need to read the book. I just need to read the book, but I haven't yet. So, I've actually got, and I also haven't watched the movie Ran. I am absolutely unreliable. That's what my problem is. You know what? This is depressing. 52. Lisa's not allowed to ask questions anymore.
And it's Lisa.
It is not Lisa. It's really not. It is Ronster. All right, Ron. I can always count on you, man. Would you ever go on a biplane ride of the Groupon variety? A biplane ride? Have I not answered this question before?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, I don't know why a biplane ride, whether it's a Groupon or not, makes any difference. But if I had the opportunity to ride a biplane at a reasonable rate, yeah.
I wouldn't.
Why not?
I am terrified of anything that flies that's not enclosed.
Well,
so specifically biplanes.
So am I supposed to cancel our hot air balloon ride at Gen Con?
You do not have a hot air balloon ride at Gen Con.
Friday night. Right after the chicken limo. So...
thing that is happening.
Yeah, that's actually how I found out about it. Nellie asked me on the podcast. So, okay, I certainly would. Aiden would not. There you go. 44.
Yeah, it's Lisa.
44. No, it's not. It's from Ronster again. Ron, who asks nice questions. Ron says, describe the perfect mate for Dothan. Oh, all right.
Wow. Doesn't she already exist?
What a timely question, young man. The perfect mate for Dothan is, she already is in a relationship with someone who is, as I've written her, she's sort of a perfect match anyway. I mean, they seem perfect for each other. The girl she's with now is named Oshar, and Oshar is a farm girl who is, she is intelligent, hardworking, outspoken, educated, but does not have the worldly experience that Dothan does. She has remained, you know, she's working at home on a farm. She's got siblings to help take care of. She's got a farm to help take care of. She is a girl who is extremely responsible and extremely hardworking, things that Dothan has never been in her life, because Dothan was kind of a spoiled only child who... has always been unbelievably charming and unbelievably talented, and people just kind of cater to her because she's just nice that way, and she's fun. And again,
I can take her in a fight.
When you, yeah, you probably could. She's 5 foot nothing. She weighs 100 pounds.
And I'm like what, 3 foot nothing?
Well, yeah, that's true. But you're also, oh, that's right, you're also a bard. I know she could take it.
I'm a bard rogue. You can't.
All right, that's true. But. But Dothan is again, she, you know, with a 20 charisma, you know, she gets by on her personality a lot, always has her whole life. And so now here she is out in the world and kind of, you know, on all this adventure. And Oshar is someone who is more grounded, and the two of them together, I think, make her a very cute couple. And, ultimately it's not going to work out. Spoiler warning. It's, you know, look, it's two teenage girls. They don't. It's first love. It's, you know, the kind of thing that, unless you're my son Jacob, that sort of stuff doesn't work out. Jacob, on the other hand, everything works out for Jacob.
Oh my gosh!
I know. Jacob says
Jacob has Jacob, on a long car ride, Jacob, you're not listening. Please don't. Just mute it right now.
No, no, he knows. I've told him this to his face.
But, no.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
On a long car ride to Wayne, me and him, we're riding, and he looks at me and goes, Aiden, I am so sorry. And I go, what did you do? And he goes, my whole life, I've been handed everything, and here you are getting the real teenage experience while I got fed a silver spoon. I am so sorry.
It's so true. Jacob decided that he was going to get a job. And we're like, well, okay, well, what are you looking at? He said, well, I think I want to work at the movie theater. We're like, okay, and where else? He goes, I don't know, let me go try that one first. Goes in, applies. Within 2 days, he's got the job. It's his. And he works at his entire high school career, and he was very happy with it. He never had to try anywhere else. He's never gotten fired from a job. He's never had any issues. He just said, oh, I'm going to go get the job. And he got the one he wanted for high school, and then he's done. All right? He found a wonderful girl, and he was, you know, we told him he was too young to date, but he was
15.
He was 15, and we said, yeah, you're too young to have a serious girlfriend. And he said, well, yeah, but look, my grades are really good. I work hard. I keep everything up. But can't I just try? And we're like, all right, what the heck? She lives 45 minutes away. How long is this possibly going to last? Yeah, he's marrying her.
5 years later.
5 years later, yeah, they're engaged. They can get married in 2 years. So, you know, he goes off to college, and he wants to study computer sciences. Before school even starts, 3 months before school even starts, he has a job working for the computer department, doing computer support for the college itself. He's already got a 3-month head start on everybody else there. He knows their systems inside and out. And he's still happily working that job today. He's had 2 jobs. That's it. 2 in his whole life. 1 girlfriend.
So have I. I've had 2 jobs.
Yeah. Well, you're 17. All right. And he's had 1 girlfriend his entire life. Because, well, that's all he needs. He's done. Yeah, we're good. We can go forward. And again, she's wonderful. He did really well for himself. So, unbelievably lucky. So, but to back up to the original question, yeah, look. Right now, I think Oshar is absolutely perfect for Dothan. I think they're really good together. And I'm going to work on developing this story. And ultimately, look, Oshar stays home on the farm. Dothan goes out in adventures and puts herself in danger on a regular basis, fighting, you know, demons and lamias and dragons and whatever else they're going to wind up lamias. Fighting all the time. And, oh, that's lamia.
Gross.
I think it's going to get to the kind of thing where, yeah, you know what? I mean, what, am I supposed to just wait around for you while you go off and put yourself in danger and I don't see you for 6 months at a time? And come on, what is this how we're going to live our lives?
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't think it's going to work out ultimately, but it might. You'd be surprised. The characters continually surprise me as I continue to play and write because I try and be as true to the characters as possible. And sometimes I have a plot worked out in my head and that's not what they choose to do when we get there. So we'll see. We'll see. But something like that, someone who can help ground her. I mean, it's got to be someone who is intelligent and, you know, can appreciate the arts because that's Dothan's entire life. Someone who challenges her, but also someone who can ground her and someone who has, a sense of duty and responsibility and can kind of bring her back to earth on some of these things. So that would be the perfect mate. 71. 71 is from... Oh, where are we? It's from Mrs. Darks. And I actually think, I know this is only 5, I think this is going to be the last one because listener betrayal has been sitting out there way too long. So Mrs. Darks says, what decade would you most like to have been a teenager in?
Oh, the 90s. Give me the 90s. Have me be born, like, say, 10 years before I was.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say the 90s as well. I mean, look.
What a time to be alive.
I was a teenager in the 80s, and it was pretty lame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, before cell phones, before the internet, before, I would have liked, I didn't get the internet in my home until I was already married and had a kid. imagine the things I could have learned, done, experienced had I had all of the free time of a college kid with an internet connection. Although, it's also potentially destructive as well, I suppose. I wouldn't have gone out and socialized as much if I could have just sat in my room and socialized with people online all the time.
or socialize with...
I don't even want to know where you're... No. We're not going to talk. So... I don't want to know. All right. But, yeah, I think the 90s. Not to mention that music was really cool in the 90s.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, look, I have a fondness for 80s music because it's what I grew up on. And that very, synth pop 80s kind of stuff still... gives me that nostalgic feeling, and I dig all that. And I also like the classic 70s stuff, and I have lots of old Beatles and Stones and earlier stuff. And mainstream classics, I suppose, is what you'd call them. But the music of the 90s, the grunge and the post-grunge scene, really spoke to me in college, and I would have loved growing up on that as my teenage years. That would have been really cool. Although... if I had been any younger when Cobain offed himself, I would be one of those losers who worships him and worships Nirvana. And you know what? That's silly. I mean, look, they were really talented. They did a great job. And then he's a tortured soul and he killed himself. And that's sad. But, God, quit worshiping Kurt Cobain, people. Seriously.
I mean, did Robin Williams get this kind of worship?
Once he died, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, lots of people do when they die. So anyway, yeah, the 90s, that would be my vote. And apparently Aiden's vote too. But you know what? We're done. I know it's no. Come
76.
On. You suck. 76. It's from Noah. I know, Noah. It's from you.
Let me say it.
Noah says, here, you gotta say it to the mic.
What if you're the only survivor in a zombie apocalypse? What would you do?
Taste delicious.
Good answer. The only survivor in a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, like nobody survived.
That's tragic. I would not go all Will Smith and find a cure because I'm not that smart. I don't know. I really honestly don't know. I would probably go crazy and probably, ultimately, I would spend lots of time, wandering around trying to find other survivors. And, ultimately when I realized there weren't any, I don't know. I don't know how long it would take me to give up on it, but, I would hold out a long time because it's just not in my nature, but yeah, eventually I think I just give up. I mean, once there's no more people around and, there's only so many books I can read and so many, places that I can hike to and visit on foot and so many zombies I can kill and dodge. Eventually I'm hoping they'd all, wither away and starve to death once they've run out of the human meat supply. But yeah, who knows? It depends on which story you're in. So God, that's a depressing question. But yeah, ultimately, like I said, I think I'd hold out for a long time. I mean, maybe even 10, 15, 20 years of wandering around, wandering the earth, looking for other survivors. Hell, I might just do that forever until I finally caught some illness I no longer had drugs for and died of it. I might just hold out wandering the earth forever. You never know. That's a depressing, lonely story, isn't it?
Good joke's even more depressing and lonely?
What's more depressing and lonely?
What if that disease you caught was immortality?
That's terrible. And then I got accidentally locked in a jail cell. Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's a Twilight Zone episode. So
I'm getting there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Aiden's been watching Twilight Zone. All the episodes are on. They're on Netflix or on Hulu?
Netflix.
They're on Netflix.
For first 100 and some.
And they hold up.
They do.
Twilight Zone is really good.
And Noah's been watching with me, too.
Haven't watched it in years, but they hold up. So anyway, that's enough. Let's bring out GLaDOS to do a recap of this episode. Take it away, GLaDOS.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. The only bumper music I used this week was Weezer's in the Garage. Let's see, all of the songs that I use on my podcast are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to get your very own pocket mod, go to pocketmod.com. They'll give you instructions for printing up and folding your very own pocket mod for free. You can't beat free.
You can get paid to make a pocket mod.
If you want to do something nice for my podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, Two-Thirds of a Dozen Others, all free, and you can't beat free all the time.
You can get paid to download his games.
If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com. Check me out on Twitter, where my handle is @NerdPrideRadio, or even check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio. But, to be totally honest, the best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at NerdPrideRadio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, we'll be best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal at the beginning of every podcast, or sometimes hours earlier accidentally. I write down that I am recording my podcast, and then people can add in whatever they want, and I will read it off right here at the end of the cast. Here's what you guys had to say while I was recording, and also while I was at the swimming pool, and before that, while I was at Walmart doing some school shopping. So here's what you guys had to say. Out on Facebook first, Sarah Beth says, 1 week to Gen Con. How does that make you feel? And what are you most looking forward to? Okay, first off, how does that make you feel? I immediately picture Count Rugen running the machine in the... Yes?
It's He-Man.
It's shut up. It's Thundar. But how does it make me feel?
He-Man!
I am so excited. We are going to have such a good time. I got everything ready. We got to finish our packing and all this kind of stuff. Make sure we've got our snack food and everything else. But I think we're pretty much ready to go. So I'm excited. This is going to be a great time. What am I most looking forward to? I'm most looking forward to meeting everybody. I was just talking to Nadia about this last night. Nadia, Lisa, my wife. We were talking about what we're going to do while we're there. And I'm like, one of the biggest things I'm looking forward to is just walking the floor with my son. I love walking the floor, watching the costumes. And when Jacob and I did it, awesome time. I mean, it was just, we could have done that for days and days and days. And we did, kind of.
Walking around on the floor with Jacob. I can't even search cosplay anymore without finding pictures of Jacob. I Google myself and I find pictures of Jacob.
I know. Well, now it's your turn. Now we'll get you in there. And I love it. I love just walking around, spotting people, asking to get pictures, getting pictures. It's a great time. And checking out the all the shops, the fields of dice, meeting comic book artists, meeting game designers. I just really enjoy the whole experience, and being able to be there with my kid is the best. So I am really looking forward to this. We are going to have such a good time. And then on top of that, I'm going to know people there. This will be a first. It'll be great. So there's going to be Dave and Pat, and Zen is showing up, and maybe even meet some other people there, although I haven't heard from anyone. Oh, and Nelly, obviously. Nelly for sure, and her husband, and it'll just be cool, and maybe we'll find a night where we can all hang out and play Cards Against Humanity and just chill.
That's what's happening! I forgot! Oh my gosh, I'm so excited!
Yeah, see, we've never played Cards Against Humanity before. We're both thrilled to death. Yeah, this is going to be a fun time. So, Sarah Beth then also adds, also, happy 12th anniversary to Mr. and Mrs. Blue Devil, who is, that's one of the hosts of Me Like Trivia, who, along with Sarah Beth's husband, Pat, who is going with me to Gen Con, Me Like Trivia, one of the greatest podcasts out there. And apparently it's their 12th anniversary. Awesome. Happy anniversary, guys. That's really cool. And then Nellie pitches in And Nellie's, Nellie says that she's an indie already. Well, of course she is. Her husband works for the con. They've got all sorts of things to set up, but I'm so jealous that they're there already. A whole week? A whole week being involved in Gen Con? This is spectacular. She says they're in indie already, and there's flood warnings.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Oh, no.
So, it's very warm and very humid. I recommend packing for possible wet weather. You hear that, everybody else? If you're going to Gen Con, possible wet weather. Yeah, that's true. We did just buy disposable ponchos and extra umbrellas. We'll throw those in the backpacks.
Put up a big sign. Welcome to Indy. Warning. Splash zone.
Oh, speaking of backpacks, we went out and did some school shopping.
Did we say anything about backpacks?
I just said we got disposable ponchos and new umbrellas, so we should throw those in the backpacks.
Ah, okay.
And so speaking of backpacks, my son Elijah went out and did his school shopping tonight and wound up, he wanted to get a new backpack, and the one he picked out was way too expensive. We said, look, here's the money we will put into a backpack. If you want it, the rest of it's coming out of your own money. He's like, all right, I can do that, because he's got birthday money left over, for goodness sake. And his birthday was
far away. It's May.
2.5 months ago. And so, he's still got $100 laying around? How does that happen?
He's an industrious little boy.
At that age, I couldn't keep $100 for that long.
I can barely keep $100.
I know. And you know what money looks like. So, anyway, he got himself a Boba Fett backpack. Really sturdy and really cool looking. I mean, it's Boba Fett. Not Boba Fett's face, but it's obviously stylized Boba Fett backpack, jetpack, the whole business. It looks super cool. And joking around, I told him I was going to take it to Gen Con with me, and that would be my backpack at Gen Con to carry stuff around. And God bless him, he actually said, yeah, okay, if you want to, go ahead. I'm like, I am not going to use your backpack before you do. It's your school backpack, and you put your own money into it. I'm not taking it to Gen Con, although, man, I really ought to. Oh, man, that thing is so cool.
I would never do that, but I really want to.
Yeah, I really want to tool around with that Boba Fett backpack at Gen Con. That would be so cool. But anyway, okay, we'll prepare for wet weather. I can do that. And then, a post from my wife. My wife says Noah loves watching his daddy record. And you guys should go to the Nerd Pride Radio Facebook page and take a look at this picture, because this is literally... the beginning of the podcast where Noah was talking with me. This is from tonight. I'm wearing my Filthy Hippies t-shirt, which apparently I'm wearing in every picture I get taken. I really need to not wear this shirt so often.
I was going to say, like, whenever I picture you in my head, you're in that t-shirt all the time.
I wear this shirt a lot. I mean, I wash it a lot.
Yeah, but, because it's like your favorite shirt.
But it is my favorite shirt. But it's me and Noah actually recording the podcast, and it's a cute picture. So go look. And then done. All right, so Facebook is done. All right, now for the challenge. Let's go back to my website, nerdprideradio.com/forums, and let's see what's out here, because it could be quite a lot at this point.
Is Nerd it so Pride wrong Radio. Who love you?
Ooh, 12 replies.
Ooh.
That's not as bad as it could be. So post reply, done. Not going to look and see what they are even. We'll find out. All right, so starting from the top. I said, I'll be recording soon. See, I actually posted the listener betrayal. I posted it from Walmart. I thought we were about done, figured we'd go home right away, but no. We decided to go to a couple more stores, and then we got home, and we went, you know, maybe we should just go swimming since it's so nice out. So we went to the pool, and then somebody threw up in the pool, so they cleared us all out, so we came home. Anyway, this has been a... Oh, yeah, we watched an episode of Breaking Bad. We took our time. So this has been up since 4:51, and it's now 9:51, so it's been up for 5 hours. Let's see what we got. DM Dark says, Tilt-A-Whirl, fun amusement park ride or devil's playground?
I like Tilt-A-Whirls.
Yeah, I got nothing wrong with the Tilt-A-Whirls. Here's... The thing, I mean, Tilt-A-Whirl, I've always enjoyed it as a ride, but I don't think I'll ever go on it again. Just like, I don't think I'm going to go on many roller coasters ever again. This last Six Flags trip, I had a great time. Great time. But I finally realized why old people don't go on amusement park rides as often as young people. I remember being a kid and making fun of my dad and my uncle and all the other adults around us, going, oh, come on, you big sissies, this is fun, let's go. They're like, nah, we'll just sit this one out. You guys have a great time. You go right ahead.
Now listen, son.
I promised myself I would never be like that. What is wrong with them? Of course you're going to ride these rides forever. Why wouldn't you? And now this last trip, it's like, yeah, we had a great time. I rode all the roller coasters. We tried everything out. It was wonderful. But by the end, yeah, I can see where, it can cause a headache. It can make me sick to my stomach. My old body just can't take it like it used to. Thank God we had lots of ibuprofen while we were there. I don't know that I can take it anymore. But prior to me becoming an old man who is no fun anymore, yeah, Tilda World's just fine. I got no problem with them. Fun amusement park ride. That is my vote. Talvin is up next. Talvin says, carnival rides in general, yes or no? He says, do you trust them?
You trust them just fine. You just don't like them.
All right. Now, there's a difference between carnival rides and amusement park rides. Amusement park rides are generally safer because amusement park rides are permanent, whereas carnival rides are designed for underpaid carnies to be able to carry them on a truck and then set them up overnight. And when it's a Ferris wheel or something that's flipping you upside down or whipping you around at 5Gs or whatever it is, yeah, that's a little bit scary. That's a bit dicier. I trust them, but intellectually I feel like maybe I shouldn't. But yeah, I do trust them. But it makes me a little hinky. It makes me glad I'm not riding them anymore. And then Talvin says, have fun at Gen Con. Wish I could join you. I wish you could join us too, dude. Seriously. I mean, you're not that far away, are you? You can just pop on over. How tough is it? I mean, Wisconsin? That's nothing. You guys are practically neighbors, right? And, of course, I say that, but, you know, that's like saying, oh, come on, it's all Texas. How long could it take you to get there? And yet, you know, it could take you 10 hours to get across Texas to get somewhere. So, but, God, yeah, I wish you could show up, dude. That would be awesome. Talvin is not yet done.
Can I point out how awesome Darks is?
Oh?
I was expecting more of that.
Oh.
As he's
no.
been.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, you're right. You're right. No, that would be Talvin's usual comment is, oh, by the way, how awesome is DM Darks? As our DM. he does say that a lot. And he is, by the way. But Talvin then says, brisk, brave brigadiers brandished broad, bright blades, blunderbusses, and bludgeons, balancing them badly. Huh. I would not have thought of that. DM Dark says, are you still recording? Well, yes, I am now. I wasn't then.
Isn't that like a trick question? Because to it still be part of listener betrayal, wouldn't you have to be recording?
That's true. Although there's every possibility that I could have put that up when I actually started recording. And then I went through and I read all the questions and then quit. And never did post up that I was done. So maybe this thing's just been sitting here forever. But that's not what happened. It was the other way. Talvin comes back. All right, Talvin's got another question for me. He says, can you can a canned can into an uncanned can like a canner can a canned can into an uncanned can? Oh, damn, I had the inflection wrong. All right, let me try again. I just want to make sure I've got this question right. Can you can a canned can into an uncanned can like a canner can a canned can into an uncanned can? I wouldn't have any idea how to even begin that. I mean, that's a great question,
Why would you can a can in the first place, let alone uncan a canned can?
No, you're canning a canned can. I mean, that's a... how about the picture of the shipping ships?
I'm glad you memorized that.
You're right. Well, that's...
Or the SpongeBob episode where he keeps pulling bags out of bags.
Exactly. No, I can't do that because I know nothing about canning. I mean, I suppose if I was doing home canning, like with, you know, the mason jars and the lids and all that, I could probably with a little bit of instruction.
No, I mean, you could uncan a canned can, because, I mean, like, honestly, it's just a can in a can.
But he's asking about canning a canned can into an uncanned can, like a canner can can a canned can into an uncanned can.
Ah.
Which I can't.
But you're canning... canning a canned can into an uncanned can.
Okay. We'll put a pin in that one. Maybe come back to it next week.
We have three levels of can going on?
Get back to it next week, because Talvin has a bit of advice for us. He says, if you must cross a course, cross cow across. I don't. All right, you're not making any sense here, Talvin. If you must cross a coarse cross cow across a crowded cow crossing, cross the cross coarse cow across the crowded cow crossing carefully. Well, duh. I don't even see why that's a question. Duh. All right. You know what? Let's try Aliahad. Aliahad says, how do you feel about Louis C.K.? I think he's a brilliant stand-up comic. I really like Louis C.K.'s stand-up work. I've always appreciated him. But I've never actually watched his show that much. But hold on. He has more to say. I find his stand-up to be fantastic. Okay, good. We're on the same page. I have not watched his television show. Have you? All right. I've watched some of it.
I've seen bits of it as well.
And is it worth watching? It is. It absolutely is. There's the stuff I've seen is really brilliant, but it's also very uncomfortably true to life. And so it depends on how much you enjoy being uncomfortable watching something that's supposed to be funny, which sometimes works for me and sometimes doesn't. But I think Louis C.K. is brilliant and worth watching, but it is worth noting that I saw several episodes of his show. I started off, I was on a business trip somewhere, and I watched like 3-4 episodes in a row in a hotel on Netflix, and I really enjoyed them, but again, really uncomfortable. And so I was meant to get back to it, and I just never have since then. So I was not, no. No, my
the mic picked it up.
My wife is over there. The mic probably did not pick it up.
I was trying to scare her, though.
No, my wife is over there mumbling that I was probably watching porn on my business trips. No, I was watching Louis C.K. and what was that Dennis Quaid movie? Pandorum, that sci-fi horror movie.
Oh yeah, I love Pandora.
I watched that on business trips. That's what I do. I watch Netflix. So anyway, but again, interesting to note that as much as I enjoyed it, I've never made the choice to go back there because there always seems to be something else I'd rather watch more. So, have you answered this question before? Nope. And my brain is full. Information keeps bouncing off of it. That's not a question. Have you played Small World? No. I don't even know what Small World is. Should I? Should I bring it to Gen Con? Yes. Yes, you should. There you go. That was easy, wasn't it? Hey, now, Talvin says...
Again?
Hello? Is anyone there? Bueller? Oh, well. I'm out of here. Okay, that was awesome. And yeah, I know. It's been a long time. I get it. I explained that. Aliahad says, done! Nah, just kidding. And then Aliahad says, done? Nope, not yet. And then DM Darks... damn it! Oh, all right. DM Dark says, and I want to make sure I capture the spirit of this, so this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike Jones started recording it not knowing what it was, and he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. We can start recording it, not knowing what it was, and he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike just started recording it, not knowing what it was, and he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike Jones just started recording it, not knowing what it was, and him continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Mike Jones just started recording it, not knowing what it was, and he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike Jones just started recording it, not knowing what it was, and he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Mike Jones just started recording it, not knowing what it was. And he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Mike just started recording it, not knowing what it was. And he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. Hold on. Seriously. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike Jones just started recording it,
not knowing what it was.
And he'll continue casting it forever, just because.
This is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike Jones just started recording it, not knowing what it was. And he'll continue casting it forever, just because. This is the podcast that doesn't end. No, we still got three more of these. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike Jones just started recording it, not knowing what it was. And he'll continue casting it forever just because this is the podcast that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Mike Jones just started recording it, not knowing what it was. And he'll continue casting it forever just because. Done. I know he had a copy paste, and you know what? I should go in and just repeat this thing like three times. But Pat, you're an evil bastard, just so you know. But that's it. We're done. We're finally finished. So
what a way to end the show.
Say goodnight. Say goodnight, Noah. Say goodnight, Aiden.
Good night.
Say goodnight, Lisa.
Goodnight, Lisa.
Say goodnight, Eli. Yeah. Say goodnight, R2. We out.
Sorry.